Hello, welcome to Seriously Authentic. I am currently sitting in a hotel room in San Diego recording this podcast for you, just us, my very first ever solo episode, and also my very first video episode. I have been obsessed with vlog style podcasts lately, and I thought it would be really nice to combine this video element with maybe my first time talking to you guys, because I really wanted to get on just me and have this conversation with you. But I think it's definitely a little intimidating. The guests are so amazing, but I think this is really long overdue. And I want to do like a little bit more lifestyle. I want to get a little deeper with you guys, because I've had a lot of feedback that you guys really liked the episode with me and Serena. And so I'm also like planning more of that for you guys, because I feel like a lot in my life has changed. And I've been thinking a lot about how social media is just not real. And of course, I know that you know this, and this is something that we hear literally all the time. But I wanted to break it down a little bit, because I've really had a different relationship, I would say, with social media throughout the years. And I'm actually in this point back now where I've been struggling with it. And I think that it's just a good idea to kind of talk about it and break it down. I want to maybe like rewind it a little bit and talk about how I remember, I think when I was, so I went to like this college kind of abroad program where I had to get an internship, but it wasn't abroad. It was actually just in New York. So it was technically domestic. And I got this internship at 17 Magazine in like the Hearst building, which is this massive building. And I remember just being so excited, so stoked. I wanted to become a fashion photographer. To me, fashion photography was like just this like escape, especially when I was a little kid. I think so many people I know just like plaster their walls with advertisements from magazines. And I remember having that experience there and seeing all these people write in about wanting to be featured in the magazine, because they did this thing, I don't know if they still do it, where they would just feature like random people who would write in, which were really mainly young like femmes and girls. And these girls were so desperate. I say girls because they were that young to be featured. And I just started thinking a lot more about like the media and kind of, I think it was conscious and unconscious that I started thinking like, okay, I need to be curated. I need to have this very sort of like perfect, and also just to be quite honest with you guys, like very serious kind of dark, mysterious, sexy vibe. And my Instagram just like became this place of these like highly curated photo shoots that I would do, that I would plan out. I mean, I would like world build and go to like abandoned paper mills and trains and, you know, paper dresses and trash can like bag dresses. It was like really intense. And I think that I felt really safe, because I felt like social media was this place where I could kind of play this character. And I took this really seriously. Like I was just like, I really think that I thought on some weird level that if someone was like falling for this idea that I was creating online, like getting validation, that it would somehow solve things for me. I mean, like I desperately like wanted love. I remember I wanted attention from men, but I was also really scared of it. And I wanted to be cool. Like I wanted to be a cool girl. I was like bullied in school. And I think that I just felt like if I could emulate like what I was seeing on the magazine covers, somehow my life like get better and bigger and brighter. And so I think that it was almost like sometimes like thinking back, I don't know if anyone has this, I just took a lot of strategy to social media. I was like almost like my own like boss and editor. Like, okay, if I just dress this way, present myself this way, everything will be fine. And I think that I did that for a while, and it felt very, I don't know. I feel like if I could assign a theme to that, it would be like around control. Like, I think I just felt like, oh, No, sorry, someone's in here. I'm in a hotel, so there's house cleaning, which is kind of funny. Thank you. I'm good. No service. Thanks. Also, a reminder to tune in if you're watching a video. There's literally a view of the ocean like right outside my window right now. And I think at the end, because I've just like set this up, I will turn it around and show you guys. But I'm too nervous because I'm just figuring out this equipment. But I think it was very much about control. And then I got into work. I remember getting into advertising production. I just feel like social media kind of became... it really faded because I was so busy with my life. I think I literally didn't really like register it. And I really like came back into it. Like I remember like obviously like the rise of influencers, and I don't think this is really like worth going into, but like clearly like I looked at people online and I was like, why doesn't my body look like that? I don't think that's exactly what I want to talk about today, but like clearly it influenced me in a lot of ways that I probably wasn't even aware of. But I think everyone kind of had that on some level. It could be different, maybe not. But I remember using it as a tool for life coaching. Like when I like walked away from production, it felt like something I had to do suddenly. Like, okay, like this is how you find people. This is how you promote yourself on social media. And I think that that's where I started really compartmentalizing, like, okay, like this is now like instead of control, it became about business. And I feel like I started getting like the strategy sort of like went from control to status and achievement and like this is who I am and building a brand. And I think for a while, like I kind of fooled myself into thinking that I had this really healthy relationship with it because I was like, oh, I've compartmentalized. Like it's almost easier to post if I'm like posting for a reason. I'm not just posting for likes. I'm posting these messages or helping people or announcing this thing that I'm doing. So I felt kind of like a lot safer in that sense of like, oh, I'm using Instagram in like this adult way or like whatever you're using. But I think lately, I've kind of dipped into this cycle where I also started realizing that I was having a lot of fear attached to it because I talked about this in an article that I wrote about like being a life coach, which was just like this really interesting dichotomy that I started facing where, and I think everyone kind of faced this, where in life coaching, like the content, I mean, of course, like not everyone that listens to this is a life coach. And I think a lot of people are like in the film or creative industry. But I was being shown like two things by the algorithm. Like the first thing that I was being shown is kind of like this idea of the 5 a.m. wake up club, where you're waking up, you're meditating, you're juicing, you're working out, you're just having like all these amazing clients, like your day is packed with all these great things. Like you have this like incredible sex and intimacy life with your partner and you're traveling and you're just writing and being creative. And then the other side of it was, which I know that we have all witnessed on TikTok. If you are on TikTok, this is definitely a thing that happens. If you're not, sort of like this oversharing or vulnerability, like I'm crying to my phone or I'm sharing about grief or death or a breakup or, you know, online hate or, you know, something really, really serious and actually being really vulnerable with their platform. I am, again, not judging this, but I think to me, like suddenly it was like, no one has told me this. This is like just definitely like how I internally feel. And I'm just sharing because I wonder if anyone else feels this way or they have another life, they feel this way. I felt like suddenly my life has become sort of like a really, really high or a really, really low. It's either I'm sharing sort of like the best, highest moments of my life, or I'm sharing like these moments of like real raw vulnerability. And don't get me wrong, I think that those moments are really great, but I think it's like created this dissonance where I'm almost like the person with like the iPhone on the trip where I'm not being as present because I'm just like thinking about it, I'm calculating. I'm like, is this like a sad moment to like turn into like gold to like help people that like after I'm done and after I process, I can write about it? Or is this a happy moment? And can I, you know, just like really make sure I'm taking the right picture and writing the right tagline to like really like have that be present? So I want to just genuinely talk about, I don't think that these are good or bad things that I'm necessarily going to change it, but I just wanted to break down for you guys like five real things in my life, or maybe it's four, I don't know. I have notes here. It's just me, so I'm keeping myself on track. Of like just genuinely what I'm struggling with, and I'm going into this episode because it like this seriously authentic community like means everything to me. I love you guys, and I've never been happier. Like I don't even have words for how much this community means to me. So I'm coming at this from like this lens of like, I'm not a life coach here. I'm not a professional here. Like I just want to be like a human to human moment. And if this is like too much or too hard or deep or dark, like tune me out, go listen to something else. And obviously these are my thoughts and feelings. Like I'm not shitting on anyone. I'm not telling anyone that this is how you should feel. I just genuinely hope that, I don't know, I kind of just want to like normalize like some of more of like the mundane kind of crappy things that I think happen offline that I don't necessarily have like a pretty bow to put on top of or a succinct kind of like Instagram therapy quote. So let's dive in. I'm going to start with the hardest one first. So the past month, I've had a lot of change in the past 6 months. I moved to LA from Portland, Oregon. I went through a breakup, you know, in a very long relationship. I just think I've not had time to like sit with myself and process my feelings. I'm also a workaholic. Like I work all the time. I'm always thinking about my business. But the past month, there have been a couple things that have happened, I would say around kind of like desperation or scarcity energy, where I've just like freaked out. I mean, I've just been in an anxiety hole, and I've struggled with anxiety my whole life. And I think that this is relatable. Like, obviously, we all have moments of anxiety, but I've always been really good at finding coping mechanisms that kind of pulled me out of it. And it's just never been something that I've struggled with enough that I was like, okay, I need to seek like really serious help for this. And I think it's great if you do, like obviously a huge proponent of whatever makes your life better. But not this month, guys, not this month. I have just been ruminating about things 24/7. I've been waking up with stomach aches. It makes me want to go inside. It makes me feel weak. I've been crying a lot. And obviously I'm going to like spare you like the nitty gritty details because this is not a therapy session, but I suppose like it's been a little weird for me because I mean, even right now I'm sitting in like the most beautiful place ever. So okay, I'm making sure the computer is still going really quickly. I'm only doing this because once I had to record, totally stop. Just checking. Anyways, I'm sitting in the most like San Diego right now. Like the sun is shining. I'm looking at the ocean. I'm looking at literal sailboats. Like, and of course, like my life in LA is incredible. I have so many friends here. I wake up and I'm in paradise. Like I've wanted to make this move for so long and I'm doing it. I just got an email today about like a PR company that like wants someone to be on the podcast, which is amazing and like a mini manifestation. And I'm a coach. Like I get to help people like live their dreams. And like my clients send me the most heartwarming messages in the world. And yet I still feel crappy. Like I still have like all of this anxiety. And I think a lot of it is like this complete dissonance where like logically, like I'm so cerebral. I can be like, hey, I know this is not real, but my body is just like, no. And I just think that I want to say this because I minimize a lot. I think I'm like, oh, it's not so bad. And I think that that's a little bit like what I'm over. Like I'm kind of over not taking myself seriously in the sense where like, I'm like, it's okay if things are just like not great for me for a month. I mean, I have a support team, I have a therapist, I have like other things that I'm doing, but I suppose what I really want to say is that, like, I don't know, like, it's okay to feel like crap. And I also, the crap that I'm feeling, it's not like I'm having panic attacks every day. Like, I'm not walking around in like severe pain, but like more often than not, like, I'm just having days that are hard. And I think that this is like, I can't wrap this up with a bow. Like, I'm not having some like massive epiphany. This is like not crazy transformational pain. It's just literally like I'm anxious right now. And I think I just am working on like being okay with that. I mean, there's literally like no advice or end to this. I'm just literally putting that out there. The other thing that my anxiety has made me talk about or think about is really, I think my sister brought this up. Like, anxiety is like one of those emotions, like the doer emotion. So it like makes me want to do more. Like, I'm like, I want to work out. Like, I want to like meditate harder and work on my business. And I think too, like, I've been thinking about the fact that I'm just so not used to taking a break and slowing down. I'm always doing something. And I feel like a lot of that doingness is fear-based. And I think I know that it's fear-based because as much as I've done like so much self-help and like so much introspection, I know like my tell when I'm in anxiety and like not able to take a break or celebrate myself is like, I look for quick fixes. I look for instant gratification. I'm like, I'll think of like a new idea for my coaching business and I'll be like, okay, great, I'm going to do this right now. Or I'll think of like, okay, well, I need to reach out to so-and-so because like, I've been having this realization that I'm misproducing and I want to get back into producing. But then I'm like stuck in the middle of like producing and life coaching and like not knowing like what my label is or who I am. And then I just get into this hole of, okay, this is like the time of my life. I need to be grinding. I need to be making the most money possible. If I'm not making money, then like, I don't have a role in society. Like, who am I? Like, I've been really thinking about capitalism. I've been really thinking about how it's never enough money. Like, there's never enough time in the day. Like, I think that success is going to like get me validation and make me feel okay. But it's like tied to this larger kind of like idea of capitalism. And I don't mean the idea of capitalism in the sense of our economy. I just mean in this idea of, we like are so concerned with like what we're doing for a living. And we have this kind of idea, at least in America or the United States, everyone's equal, right? And we're always touting this. We're all like, okay, everyone's equal. We're all the same. But I don't think that our society operates that way. It's like, do you have the car? Do you have the mansion? Do you have the job? Like, there's this idea of status and respect and recognition. And I think for me as an entrepreneur, not having like the steady income and like whether I'm doing like freelance production or I'm, you know, helping people in the creative industry, the sky is the limit. Like, I have like, there are no boundaries. And as a result, I just feel like I don't have boundaries around that. I mean, I do, like, of course, and I have like support teams and coaches and things, but it takes me like some serious work and energy and effort to not be thinking about my business 24/7. I mean, literally like on the weekends, at night, in the mornings. And then I suppose this is okay. And I think that it's okay to think about things that you enjoy. Like, I'm not saying turn your brain off, but I think that the problem is that I just like, when I feel anxious, I'll make like a plan. Like, I'm like, okay, like, here's my plan. I'm going to do this. And then the next day I feel anxious, I'll make this whole other plan. And I know I'm rambling a little bit here, but I think that that's what I mean by instant gratification is I feel like I'm looking for newness all the time. I'm looking for like the next thing to do, the next thing to be. I'm having a really hard time sticking with things. I think this podcast is one of those things where I actually have a really easy time because it's just like something I genuinely love. I think I love it so much that like the noise of like status and capitalism and making money off of it, like, I don't care about those things because I'm like, I would do this no matter what. And I think that that's been a really interesting realization. But I think the other thing that maybe like social media is kind of interesting is I feel like I'll celebrate like my wins on social media. So I just had some articles published that were featured on Elephant Journal, which is like a huge publication, and they're featured in Feed, and I'm just jumping into writing. And this was a really big deal for me, like to have this and do this. But I realized that, and my sister was the one that made me realize this. And I think this is what's so amazing about people mirroring it back is I had the way I was celebrating was like through social media. It was like, look at me, I did this, but I wasn't really celebrating like that much in real life, like taking myself out to dinner, like pausing, like reflecting on everything that it took to get here. Because I mean, I can sit here and think like I'm severely dyslexic. I've been dyslexic since I was such a little kid. I was almost held back, struggled my whole life. Even now, like spelling certain words and doing certain things is really hard for me. If you had told me when I was a child that I would be writing and then I would be getting published and that I would like it, I would have just thought you were literally insane. So I think it's really like all of these things where I feel as though I read this thing, which I think self-comparison is like obviously something that we all do. Like we're always comparing ourselves to other people. And there's a whole nother train of thought on how, yes, that's inspiring and it's good information. But one thing that I think I've seen myself doing more, and I think that I feel as though my social media feed is almost this weird symbolic representation of, is I'm comparing myself to my hypothetical self. Your hypothetical self is like the sort of, I would say, like regret, like it's the what if land, parallel universe where you're thinking like, what if I had stayed with that person or taken that job or moved abroad or broken up with that person or changed my career? Or what if like my parent hadn't died or I hadn't had this crazy chronic health issue or been born into this family? Whatever, right? Fill in the blank. I feel as though every time I get a win, I'm like, okay, well, what if this happens in the future? And what if that happens in the future? And I'm like, just kind of, I think that's like the other thing that's interesting about anxiety is like, again, a kind of another tell, which I feel like is a little bit more of a subtle tell and isn't necessarily like a panic attack or upset stomach or rumination, but I'm not as in the now. Like, I feel as though like, my drive and my motivation, which is like fueled by my anxiety, because anxiety is kind of like the upper drug of mental health. So it's like going to give you energy, like going to make you do things, which makes a lot of sense in a survival thing, is I'm just the pressure and pushing myself so, so, so hard. So I think that that's what I wanted to talk about. And I feel like the other thing that I'm realizing that isn't as related to social media, but is around social media in general, is just like the idea of boundaries. I'm also having a moment where I think that there's like there's this idea that we all kind of like wear masks or have shells from childhood. I have two like really prevalent ones. The first one is caretaker. I was definitely the fixer, mediator, people pleaser of the family. And that manifested as me being a caretaker. I like took that really seriously. Like, okay, like I can fix people. Like I can be the quasi friend therapist. I can make everyone feel better. And I took a lot of validation in that because that's what I thought my role was. And I think being a producer, I was just exacerbating that. And so I came to this moment. I think you guys might know, like speaking of social media, I'm a really big advocate for not people pleasing. I think that people pleasing is one of like the things I've struggled with most in life. And it's really when you're like the reflection of everyone else wants, needs, and desires, you don't feel empowered or in control of your life. And you're so afraid of disappointing people because you literally feel like if you don't belong, and the sense of belonging, the sense of like fitting into the middle of the herd is so ingrained in a survival sense. Like this is a really tricky thing. So I have really done the work, I would say, to like not people please as much, like legitimately. There wasn't an instant where I did, but I'm saving that for an episode with me and Serena. but I've really thrown off the caretaker mantle. I would say, I don't think everyone is going to resonate with this. I think a caretaker is a bad word. I think it's a cuss word. I think it's a dirty word. I mean, obviously not in the sense of like hospice care or medical care are getting like paid in that sense to be a caretaker. But I think it doesn't mean that you can't be supportive. It doesn't mean that you can't be on someone's team or like a healthcare or mental health care professional. But I think being a caretaker is just sort of like, okay, cool, you're there for someone else. I see myself now as like a supportive, empathetic leader, and that's how I've reframed it. So the second mantle is like workaholism. I think that I'm so like into like that, and that's like where I'm at now. But kind of going back to that caregiver thing, I've really done the work. But very lately, and I think one good thing about like maybe like having like a month where you're not feeling so great, as am I, is my tank, like for what I have capacity for. If I'm doing really well, it's really high, and I can be there for a lot of people. I also, you know, have clients, like I get paid to be there, and I feel like that's very different, but I just mean in a social sense as a friend, like I can be present. And since it's been lower, I feel like I'm really like, there's a few people in my life that I think this is a tricky one to really like express, but they're not doing anything wrong. Like they're being really lovely, but I feel like they, whether it's conscious or unconscious, like this is me really listening to my body, like kind of coming at me for like too much, leaning too hard, wanting too much, like almost that feeling, I don't know if you've ever had it, of someone wanting to bond with you, like really like, and I just can't anymore. I think I'm hitting this stage of life where things are becoming a little bit more subtle. And even if someone is being really nice and kind, my nose really itches for some reason. If I feel like what I'm really feeling on my end, to make this a little bit more about me, is for whatever reason, I don't feel safe opening up to that person and telling them what I'm going through. Again, this is not like something that they've done. It's just how I feel. With my best friends, I always feel like that. I feel like I could tell them anything, and it's just like something I don't think about. But I find myself kind of withholding. I find myself in my body kind of like thinking like, not so sure. And I genuinely think this is part of growing up, because there's so much going on in all of our lives. I think we have this idea that we need to like just be there for all of our friends and this incredible friend and catch up all the time and do all of these things. But I'm really realizing that, yes, those things are important to me, but I don't really want to do that with that many people anymore. And I think this is really hard to say, and it's hard to even put into words, is getting to this phase where I would say I want to start distancing myself and like slowly letting go of some relationships that don't have like necessarily like a really kind of clear like boundary crossed or like something someone did that was wrong. It's just more genuinely like going in with that experiment, like, does this connection light me up or does it like detract? Just like really thinking through that lens. And before, in the past, I would just psychoanalyze the wazoo out of that. I'd be like, something's wrong with me. I'm being crazy. Like, there's something I'm not seeing. There's something inside of me that's being triggered. I need to do the self-work. And lately, I've just been really like, what if I let go of the why? Like, what if I let go of needing to know what's happening with this other person and with me? Like, what if it's enough that my body just doesn't love this? Like, it's more like letting go of friendships or people, like, not because like things are wrong, but because you actually like notice you feel way, way more energized with other people. Like, why wouldn't we? I think that the self-help industry, in kind of this idea of like the journey of fixing, the journey of always analyzing yourself, sometimes is like not that great, because legitimately, a lot of the times, like, our body's going to give us a signal. We might not even know what it means, but just instinctually, like, it's getting information before we do. And I'm also really starting to realize that I don't necessarily, like, need to know all the answers. And I think that this is hard as someone who loves to psychoanalyze, and I love having reasons and logic. And I think even, obviously, like, trying to relate this, this is such a good example, because even me, like, trying to tell you why I don't necessarily want to be as close with these friends is really hard, because I actually don't have language to describe it, because I don't actually know why. And I feel as though this is where the self-doubt comes in, if this makes any sense. Like, even as I'm talking, I'm like, yeah, like, what's the reason? Like, I need to communicate this better. I need to, like, dig in and find the language around this and psychoanalyze it. And it's just, I don't. I feel as though it's okay. It's just okay if someone doesn't float your boat. Legitimately, I know this sounds really simple and really, really, really straightforward, but one thing that I will say that, like, you're probably thinking, because I do think actually universally, like, you might have a relationship in your life that feels this way, or you have. And I think more what the questions coming up around this are like, okay, but, like, Larissa, how the heck do I deal with that? I mean, that's, it can be heartbreaking. I think sometimes these are relationships we've had for a really long time. I'm thinking really, like, in the lens of friends right now, but I think that that's maybe something I don't quite have the answer on yet. And again, like I told you guys, I'm not really putting my life coaching hat on for this episode. I'm just thinking, like, as a human, I think it's obviously, like, really nuanced as well. But what I've, like, started to think about is, like, just, like, creating, like, really, like, boundaries around, like, space and time. Like, okay, maybe you usually are on the phone with this person for hours if you don't live in the same place. Like, what would it look like to stay on the phone for, like, just an hour, just 30 minutes? Or small things like that, where I think it's taking the time to, like, just slowly limit. Like, I don't think these things need to be intense. Like, I think that they can be, like, a slow burn sometimes, unless obviously someone has really crossed a boundary. That's completely different. But again, I think that I sort of think about it in, like, this weird way of almost, like, feminism in this odd way, because I remember, like, the, you know, like, the history books, like, remember when women couldn't vote? Like, you're like, okay, clearly, like, that's really bad. I don't think anyone says, like, yeah, that's fine. But I think now, like, in this day and age, when, you know, someone might be paid more than you, or maybe, like, get a promotion or be communicated with differently, like, it becomes harder to sort of, like, put words around it or to talk about it, or to even necessarily know, like, what other factors are at play. And I think this is such a good example of, like, it's really subtle. There's a lot going on. It's not sort of as simple as, like, my best friend got with my partner, or, like, my best friend, like, didn't come to my wedding, or my best friend, you know, like, badmouth my family or something, where you're like, yeah, that's really bad. I think that these are things that are just, you wake up one day and you're kind of like, you know, I've been feeling maybe for, like, 6 months to a year, like, this wasn't a good fit, and it's been slow. I've kind of been avoiding it because I didn't want to have that moment. And now I'm really finally realizing, like, okay, like, I'm at this point where, like, maybe, like, figuring out a distance plan makes sense. Okay, I'm trying to think if there's anything else that I want to share with you guys. I think the other thing that I did want to talk about is a little bit of this realization that I've had around environments. Again, this goes back to this. I really think that I like to think of myself as this, like, very strong person. And I know that I am, but sometimes I think I take that a little too far. And moving from Portland to LA has been really different. I mean, I honestly feel like I live on another planet. I've had a few things that have been really triggering, because California is so sort of like about what do you have and like who do you know and like that fame and status stuff that happens in LA. Like granted, like where I live in LA is not like that. I live in Highland Park. It feels so chill. I love it. I have like a family of parrots that live by me. I get a croissant. I can walk to yoga. I live with my sister. Like it's completely dreamy. But I do think that for whatever reason, moving has really maybe demonstrated to me like exactly where I am in life, like exactly the chapter I'm in life, because I was in Portland for so long and I think I kind of felt like stagnant. I was like, okay, cool. But I almost felt as though I was in like a time warp or time bubble where like everything was so familiar that I don't know, I wasn't being pushed. I wasn't being stretched. There wasn't a lot of newness. There wasn't a lot of novelty. And it was really lonely in a lot of ways too. I mean, I definitely wanted more community. I wanted more people who I felt were, I don't know, doing their own creative things and like stretching themselves. And I have that in LA, but I think LA is such a gross city. Like LA is, you can't beat around the bush for like where you're at in life. You're taking stock. I also have a lot more friends here who, I don't know, they're doing things, like they're pushing themselves. So I've really started to realize I haven't really created maybe like an armor around myself or defined maybe as clearly for myself, like, okay, like what do I value? What do I want out of LA? Like what does my experience, what is it going to be? And I think that I kind of feel as though like I'm a little bit like a kid who's transferred schools, where I think I lived in LA briefly before. I'm way older. I have like a way sort of like I'm wiser. And I think that the challenges I'm having with moving are really different than I thought that they would be. And I honestly thought I'd wouldn't have these challenges, which is maybe really silly. And you might be thinking like, Larissa, like, of course, but I think I've just had so many hard things happen in my life. And I don't know, I just felt as though I was prepared. And even though I am, I've just really been realizing, and this kind of goes back to boundaries, it kind of goes back to social media, I'm really impacted by my environment, like hard full stop. And I don't know why this is such a hard thing for me to admit, because I think if I meditate and exercise and like surround myself with all the right people, that like somehow I won't be as impacted by my environment. But that's just not been the case for me. I just am. I mean, I don't think everyone is, and maybe you don't relate to this, but I feel as though I'm having a little bit of a lesson around just really treating myself like a child and a parent to a child, and really like, hey, Larissa, like, who are the people you want to be with? Like, what is going to make these things work for you? Because I'm realizing that I do have like a lot of choice and agency. And like, especially like LA is like this really magical thing, because I don't think I'm going to be here forever. It is kind of like this really conscious choice to grow. It's a conscious choice to like, be like, this is a regret. Like, this is a regret I'm going to have if I don't do it. And I've been in my little safety nest bubble. And if you're still there, I love that for you. I think obviously, and maybe you want to stay there and that's your place. I just feel as though there's a lot of things hitting me right now that are really asking me to grow. They're really asking me to up level. And I just feel as though if you're having your own version of this, I don't know what it looks like, that I'm here with you in it. And I feel as though I just rambled on, but I do really want this to feel like, okay, Larissa isn't just asking all these like hard, serious questions to her guests, and that I'm here for you guys, because this is why I'm doing this. I don't have all the answers, but I just have had these conversations with a lot of people. I feel like there's this phase of kind of like, we're all fed up. Like, we're fed up with the status quo, with like the quiet economy, with like kind of like finding our purpose or the things we love, or like making our relationships work, or not having time for ourselves, or like being so like scared shitless to sit with our emotions, scared shitless to deal with this stuff head on. And I, for one, just do a lot better like when someone else is like raises their hand and says, hey, me too, because I think it can be so isolating. And I think that all of these things are obviously like mundane. Like, I'm just talking about generalized anxiety. Like, I'm good. I'm okay. I'm talking about this good problem of having like so many good relationships in my life that I'm maybe thinking about like not being in some of them, or I've literally picked my dream career. But I also realize that my dream career like comes with a lot of hard things, and the journey of like my own self-worth and like me just like taking the hardness of being my own boss so seriously is genuinely not working for me right now. I'm definitely having a moment of, I left my full-time job because it wasn't working, and I got into my own job, and I've kind of been living under this illusion that I'm not the problem. And I am. I push myself. I don't stick with things. I think about it all the time. I have anxiety, and I'm grateful because I think this was a really humbling moment. My best friend, I called my best friend Allison. Shout out Allison. And I was just like legitimately like having a pity party. Like, I texted her before and I was like, hey, I'm going to have a pity party. Like, FYI, like, this is what this is. And she was just like, the fact that you are not calling about like a boy or some tragedy, like, and that you get to like spend, like, you can like wake up tomorrow and like spend time healing yourself. Like, how amazing. Like, that's an amazing life. And that really stuck with me. And I'm not saying that as like a platitude to be like, oh my God, like, life is great. Like, of course, like, life is hard. Like, that's genuinely like the whole topic of this podcast. But I've rambled on for almost an hour, which is like pretty impressive. Let's see. I'm going to show you guys the ocean. Okay. So if you're watching, this is the ocean. Welcome to my vlog style podcast. Really though, genuinely, like, let me know if you like this, this video podcast. I really want to do more of it. I kind of want to like take you guys along for the ride more. And yeah, I love you guys all. Okay. Bye.